depending on your age, will affect how you remember and what you think about with harvest, how it changes. Depends on where you live. I remember when I lived in Huddersfield, very much on the edge of urban life / civilization. You find that the fields are very much changing with the seasons. As I go into Manchester on the train, you go through those fields that at certain times of the year become vividly, vividly yellow as the oilseed rape grows. And as we have celebrated harvest as a church for many years, some of you will have different memories of harvest. I have a couple, one of which is a talk about a harvest of bananas. And that was done by Colin many years ago when Monkey got very excited about the monkey, about the banana harvest. How many people have been in church long enough to remember Colin's monkey talks? Yes. Do you know what? Don't remember any sermons till I was about 16. Can tell you all about the monkey talks. Let's give thanks for those. And I remember Colin talking about how grateful Monkey was that the bananas had grown and how he would go around collecting all the many bananas. And I used to sit with, for a particularly long time, with Chris Clark, with Julie Kempinski and with Anna Stanbridge. And we used to sit there, and I think it's fair to say we came to church for the monkey talks. But then, of course, that was the Sunday morning. And then on the Monday night would come harvest supper. And every year, with no big decision about what the menu would be, it would be sausage, it would be mash, it would be apple pie. That was the plan. That was, what is, and what forevermore would be, as we thought it was in the time. There would be a point in heaven for all eternity when once a year God cracked open the sausage and mash. And we sat in the back room, we had our dinner, we had our pudding, and then came the most bizarre, probably most Tamworth Baptist Church thing of the whole year. Some people know what I'm talking about, and some people who haven't been here as long will know and be wondering what I'm talking about. It came to the harvest auction, which as I was growing up was Cyril Reeves and Joe Barker standing there selling what we had brought in front of us. And it was a night that Mum and Dad dreaded. Because for all of us, my sister, my brother particularly, and me, would be given a bit of money and they would worry what absolute junk I would bring home. Because back then, and this is a really good full table of stuff, there was an element of, on each harvest morning, I'm not going to ask you to put your hand up because I think everyone would. At some point in our life, we've all forgotten it's harvest, haven't we? And what do? You open the cupboard and you look for something to bring. You open up, you look in the back and you think, do you know what? I wouldn't know what to do with a tin of kidney beans. You look and you think, do you know what?
I'll take
them. Yeah, you look and think, yeah, sell-by date on that's not that great. It is, isn't it? The youth, and I remember, sort of, particularly when we have a school come into our church in Warrington, and you look and I'm like, and the stuff that's coming, you're like, we give all of our stuff to the food bank. When the food bank have it, they put a coloured sticker on for the month it arrived. Last year, someone donated something. It still had the coloured sticker on the bottom. And I'm waiting to see this year whether it comes back with a second one on as well. This tin just goes between church, the food bank, back out to someone and back to church. Harvest can sometimes be a bit of a time when we look at what's left and not what's first. And the reading that Sue read to us from Deuteronomy is all about the beginnings of harvest. It's all about the roots of our harvest festival. And it's about God saying, bring that which is your first and not your leftovers. Bring that which is the best. On a Sunday lunchtime, when we get back from church, we'll quite often have a chicken. And then what happens is, when we've eaten the chicken, and we've made sure we've covered it so the cats can't get at it, is that the next day you have the bits of the rest of the chicken in something else. But it's never quite as good, is it? The second day is never quite as yummy as the roast on the first. And the question I want to come to today is, are we giving God our Sunday lunch or our Monday tea? Are we giving our offering of what is absolutely the best, or what's okay and I can afford to give that up? And I want to ask you three questions really quickly that ask us about what harvest is all about. And the first thing is to ask, are you making a harvest of the hidden? And that's my first thing. When we planted those seeds in that little pot and we put the earth on top and on the carpet down here, we celebrated that those seeds are not meant to remain seeds. A couple of years ago, Rebecca is very big into sort of a very bizarre little pottery company in the potteries in Stoke. And she collects all these different kinds of mugs and vases and teapots. We've got a gallon teapot. I mean, she doesn't even drink tea. And one of the things is, there was an offer a while ago for a limited edition set of little jugs. And to do it, you had to buy unwinned seeds. We drove 22 and a half miles, I checked, to go to a garden centre that sold these specific seeds. We sent the receipt in and these little vases came. Do you know where those seeds are? They're in their packet, in a drawer. We have never planted those seeds. They have never gone into the ground. They are currently just sat there. That is not what seeds are made for. Seeds are there containing everything within them to grow into fullness. But the story that Jesus tells in that passage that Peter read for us is saying, actually, the word of God starts in you like a tiny seed. But it is not meant to stay that way. And it grows into something fuller and richer and greater. If you could plant stinging nettle seeds, I'd be a master. Doesn't matter. We've got a tree stump. We cut it out. I nearly broke my back digging it out. And then the next year, after we took out this big chunky plant thing that was coming out, wasn't really a tree, I took a picture of that empty bit of ground. Next April, it was back! So I dug it out again. It's coming back again. It just doesn't go. I'm like, tell me this was a nice flower, I can kill it instantly. But because I don't want it, it's like, yep, I'm known nowhere. But the story is that God's word is that indestructible seed. It doesn't matter how rubbish you are at watering plants, at feeding them, at putting them in the right place. You can't kill the seed of God's word. Isaiah 55 says his word does not return to him without fulfilling the purpose for which it was sent. And that word which starts hidden and sometimes can't be seen and worked for a while, like it sits there in the winter until it just germinates into that tiny little shoot, is a hidden harvest. Like these plants that have been turned into a lot of this, start small but produce a harvest. Just because at times you can't see God at work does not mean he isn't. The second thing that I want to suggest is that the harvest is of our hearts. Got a picture of a combine harvester. You see them, don't you? I was coming down yesterday on the train, and very appropriately, just between Crewe and Stafford, there's a farmer going up and down. Now, if you look at when I mowed the lawn yesterday. I tell you because I'm quite proud, because I don't do it very often. And you look, and Rebecca said, "You just don't do straight lines, do you?" And I'm like, "Well, the grass is all gone." And basically, I've got this pattern where I start in one corner, go along, round, back, along, round, back, until you get to the middle. And I find just going up and down boring. So I'm like, "That's wouldn't work for the farmer. The farmer and his giant, Massey Ferguson. No, that'd be a John Deere, wouldn't it, if it's green and yellow. Going up and down, cutting his harvest field, gathering the wheat. He's got this pattern of going up and down. And he's gathering it in. And he's collecting it all in. And then every so often, they gather it up and they start baling it. And they start putting it into whatever way they're going to store it. But God says, when you're looking at it and you're planning things out and you're working out what you're going to collect, the farmers think, "I need this much wheat to make sure that I've made enough money. I need this much of this crop to make sure I've got enough to feed the animals." And I know all about farming. I watch Country Farm. And we gather it together and we've got enough. And if I need 1,000 tons and I've got 1,005, I know I can give away 5 because it's spare. And this, it comes back. Do we give what's spare? Do we give what is our leftovers? I love that phrase, and it's not original, so I won't take credit for it. Because I probably heard it here first anyway. Give to God that which is right, not that which is left. Give to God that which he deserves. God made us in his image. And God gave not that which was left over, but that which was absolutely essential in the fact that he gave Jesus. Jesus was not what God had left over and thought, "I will send that to the earth because I don't need him." God was his first and only son. I'm all right, I'm a second son. Third child. Maybe the idea of sacrificing the firstborn's okay with me. But what God says is, "This is my only son. This is my beloved son." When he was baptized, the words came from an open heaven. "This is my beloved son whom I love. In him I am well pleased." God sent Jesus. God sent himself. He gave off of himself that we might have life. Now, Marge and Harry, who come in the evening, aren't here. So we're short of any farmers this morning, really. I'm looking around. There's a couple of people I don't know, but I don't think we've got any farmers in the building. When they talk about harvest, it is a very tangible thing. But the question is, what is the harvest of your life? What is it that you're bringing in? For me, one of the ways of my harvest is Tuesday. Do you know what Tuesday is? Payday. It is a day of much joy and rejoicing. But the question is, do you give to God on Tuesday when it's the first you can give? Or do you give on Monday when you see what you've got left over at the end of the month? Do we give from our hearts or do we give from our heads? Now, I'm not saying that we should not even think about just give and give and give without thinking. We have responsibilities. But does God come as one of those things where we find joy in our giving? Do we give from our hearts or do we clarify it with our heads? We have given today. Will we give once a year at harvest, or do we give as time goes on, day in, day out? And finally, and this is where we come back to that bit that I sort of hinted on earlier on. Sir, the disciples said, give us this bread. Jesus has said, it's not about what you've been doing in the past, but it's about what's going on now. Celebrate God's faithfulness, but see God who is with you now, for he gives us a harvest of hopefulness. He gives us that message that says we have something that is great. Now, I'm gluten-free, and it does cause a little bit of misery when you walk down the bakery aisle in Sainsbury's. Because you go down past all these really nicely fresh baked loaves, the donuts, the cookies, the crumpets, the croissants, the pan au chocolat, the waffles. Anyway. And then you get to the pre-made bread at the end, which is under the gluten-free section. Free from dairy, free from gluten, free from wheat, free from taste. But do you know what? It's okay when you go to a normal shop and you've just got all... But when you go to a proper bakery and you know you breathe in the smell, and it's a good job gluten's not in the smell, because you go in and I'm like... I almost smell it, you know. But there's that loaf, isn't there, that you think has been made by someone who really knows what they're doing. You look and you see that tin loaf, or that the tiger bread. So I might be going a little bit off. But you get these loaves, don't you, where you've got the smell, the texture, and then you put them in the oven at home, they get a bit warm, you put them with a lot of butter on, and it's good. The goodness of God is good, and the goodness of bread is good as well. But there's that thing, isn't there, that you know that before it got to the shelf, it did not look impressive. It looked like a bundle of dough in the bottom of a tin, that only because the yeast has worked in it, that it has made it rise into that shape that makes it so irresistible. I made a loaf of bread a while ago, and the yeast I'd used had gone off. And it didn't work. And Rebecca said, were you trying to make pita bread? And I'm like, no. It was meant to be a nice loaf, but it shouldn't bounce. There was no air in it. It was just a flat pancake of a loaf. Even the cat wouldn't go anywhere near it. The birds wouldn't eat it. But the fact is, that when we have that life put into it through the active yeast, that it grows into something hopeful. It grows into something beautiful. And for us, there are people in this world who don't have the yeast, whose life is condemned to be a pita bread, to be something without the rise. Then there's life that people that say, oh, I've got the yeast. And the yeast has meant that it should grow, but actually the yeast is a bit dead. And it's not growing up. And actually there's no living yeast there. There's nothing alive, even though you think you've put it in. And then there's the people who have the yeast, whose life is ready to grow into something beautiful. Like that bread. That richness. And the fact is, that yeast that is living in our lives is the living Jesus Christ. Some of us, it's there and it's dormant. It's not been touched for a while. It's been left open. And you're thinking, do you know what? That yeast's passed its sell-by date. I know, I'll give it a harvest. Or is the yeast living and alive and taking you from that flat start into the fullness of a life of hope in Jesus Christ? those words that are on the next slide from Jesus that go at the end of John chapter 6. Sir, always give us this bread. From now on, give us this bread only. Saying, actually, what I need to do is make sure that that yeast is rich. And maybe today, the message that you can go home with is to turn and to say to Jesus, Lord, give me this bread. For we know the next line. We know the line where it says, Jesus turns around and says, sir, give us this bread. Jesus says, surprise, I am the bread of life. If you buy that really nice loaf, and I'll stop talking about bread, and you think, do you know what, it's so nice, I'm going to leave it at home, it's going to make the house smell lovely. After a couple of hours, the smell's gone. After a couple of days, the bread started to go a bit stale. After a week, it started to go mouldy. And after about 3 weeks, it'll walk out of the house by itself. The living word that Jesus says, I am the bread of life, will not perish or spoil or fade. But it will fulfill that purpose for which God has called it. This season of harvest, this time when we celebrate what God has taken from seed to fruition, from beginning to end, let us celebrate that He wants to do that in us. When I came last time here, I was amazed because I'd forgotten one thing. That between me coming when I left before I got married and now, children who were like this big will have continued to grow. And I think, Mark, it was your two that just seemed to keep growing. And again, Rach, you look at sort of, they weren't that big last time. And the question is, how is that which God is doing in you? Are you staying small? Not looking at Sue. Are you staying and not sort of just looking like this? Sorry, not. Or are you saying, do you know what? I'm going to root myself in that good soil, in that nourishment, in that water, and in that light, and I'm going to grow so that I am living that life of God. I'm going to go to that point where I am the strongest I can be because my roots are in Jesus. God is good. God is faithful. And God says, build your life on me that the harvest may be good and that the fruit that you produce might be rich. Amen. Let's pray.